2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21.
For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were working in his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Please leave your Bibles open there. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father God, as we reflect on what your Son did for us that first Good Friday, Lord, we pray that you would quieten our hearts and minds. Help us to sit in your presence, to hear from your Spirit, and to be reminded of the wonderful good news of what Jesus did for us that day. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was working in a small mechanics workshop in Queanbeyan, and it was a relatively normal day. We were fixing cars, and because Queanbeyan's on the border, we're doing lots and lots of rego checks. When all of a sudden, my boss came out of his office and told us some news. The date was September 11th, 2001. The news my boss shared led to all sorts of conversations with my colleagues about how the events of that day would change the world forever. Do you remember where you were when you heard the news of the September 11 attacks? I couldn't tell you where I was on the 10th of September or the 12th of September that year, but I can tell you where I was and what I was doing on the 11th of September. Because that day, the world had just changed. The events of that day led to the so-called War on Terror that lasted for almost 20 years. And from that day, global security has never been the same. There's an increased paranoia around terrorism, and which has led to all sorts of surveillance and anti-terrorism measures. All this in an attempt to prevent anything like that from ever happening again. In the beginning of 2020, there was lots of talk about a new virus that was affecting the world. The news reports that still stick in my mind are those graphic images of all of the people that were dying in India. But even with those massive death tolls, I never thought it would affect Australia in the way it did. It seemed serious, but it also seemed like it was a long way away. But on the 17th of March 2020, the deacons and I met and we discussed how this was going to affect our congregation. We'd received word from the Baptist Association about what they thought might happen next. And at the time, some suggested that this will only last a few weeks. And we certainly hoped that was the case. The first Sunday, as you would remember, wasn't that bad. We had a nice Sunday at the side, outside. Sun was shining. It was a wonderful day without too many restrictions. But by the following Sunday, well, the country was in lockdown, the first of many, and we had to go online. Later, when the country opened back up again, we were forced to do social distancing and wear masks, something that I never thought would happen in our country. And even though all of those restrictions have now been removed for a number of years now, COVID-19 has changed our world in many ways. And some of those ways are good. For those of us who live a long way away from a major city, we can now attend a conference or do a course online much easier than ever before. But the economic impact on our nation has been massive and will be felt for a long time to come. The lockdowns and vaccine mandates have left many with a deep-seated mistrust of our government and other authorities. And the mental and emotional toll of that season will affect our country for years and years to come. Both the Twin Towers attack and the pandemic have changed the world that we live in. But neither of those events have even made the slightest difference to our world compared to what Jesus did that first Good Friday. The time will come when we are all gone, and nobody except for historians will remember those two events. But even after everybody has forgotten September 11 and COVID-19, what Jesus did on the cross that day will continue to have an internal impact on everyone who trusts in what Jesus did for them that day. Firstly, because Jesus' death on the cross compels those who trust in him. Verse 17 says, Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. This verse is saying that if we have faith in Jesus' death on the cross, then we have died to our old life. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. The only way to pay for sin is for somebody to die. And it would only seem fair that we should be the ones to die because we were the ones who sinned. Because of Christ's love for us, he willingly died in our place. And if we believe, if we trust that he really did die in our place, his Spirit dwells in us, compelling us, encouraging us, driving us to live in a way that is completely different. Now, I'm not saying that we'll have it all together. I'm not saying that we won't get caught up in sin sometimes. But if we have faith in Jesus' death on the cross, our lives have changed. Our motives and our actions will be completely different to what they were before. Before we came to Jesus, before we trusted in the cross, we probably had our own set of morals and principles, but we were still the king of our own lives. But now we've experienced God's love for us through the death of his son in our place. We can no longer live for ourselves because Christ's love, his sacrifice, compels us to live for him. As verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Now, we haven't been made perfect yet. That won't happen until Christ returns. But if we have faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross, if we are convinced that Jesus really did die in our place, then the guilt of our sins has been taken away, and we have a restored relationship with God. We are new creations in Christ. This isn't what we call a Dulux rebuild, where all of the problems are painted over. We haven't been renovated or reconditioned. We are being made into new creations in Christ from the ground up. As his love for us and his Spirit work in us to drive us, compel us, to live in a way that honors the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. On the day that Jesus willingly went to the cross for us, he changed the world forever. Secondly, Jesus' death on the cross changes the standing of those who trust in him. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says that before we came to trust in Jesus' death on the cross in our place, we were enemies of God. An enemy is directly opposed to God, not indifferent, not just not knowing, not unaware, but an enemy of God. Our sin and our rebellion kept us from being united to God, reconciled to him. And there was nothing that we could do about it, even if we wanted, not in our own strength. But because of his love for us, God made a way for us to be reunited with him through faith in what his son did for us on the cross. On the cross, Jesus took the guilt of our sin, past, present, and future, on himself. As verse 21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Even though Jesus lived the perfectly sinless life with zero sin of his own, he took our sin on himself and willingly went to the cross. In doing so, he changed the standing of those who trust in him forever. Through faith in what Jesus did for us on the cross, we have been reconciled to God. Not only that, we've become his ambassadors, given the ministry of reconciliation as we share the good news of what Jesus has done with those around us. Been given the privilege of partnering in this life-saving mission that God has given us. And on top of that, we have become the righteousness of God. Now, that doesn't mean that we are perfect. What that means is that God has declared those who trust in his Son to be right with him, to be in a correct relationship, not based on what we do, but based on what Jesus has done. Today there's going to be lots of people enjoying their long weekend, camping, fishing, gardening, doing home renovations, whatever, without any thought of what Jesus did for them that first Good Friday. Good Friday changes everything forever, but only for those who put their faith in what God has done through his Son. When the September 11 attack took place, everybody was watching the news. They were glued to that screen, intently trying to find out what had happened, because they were afraid that if something like that could happen in America, then there was just as good a chance it could happen in Australia, and that would affect them. When the pandemic began, everyone was watching the news, glued to the screen again, so that they could understand what was happening and how this was going to affect them. But what Jesus did that first Good Friday changed our world forever. And many haven't even taken the time to find out why. Without Good Friday, there is no hope of life beyond the grave. No way to be made right with God. No way to understand sickness, pain, suffering, and all of the hardships in this fallen world. But the wonderful gift that Jesus purchased through his death in our place that first Good Friday is only available to those who trust in what Jesus did for them on the cross. And so if you haven't yet thought about what Jesus did for us that day, if you haven't thought about how that affects you and will affect you into eternity, there is no better day than today. Let go of your own attempts to try and make yourself right with God in your own strength, to change what you are putting your faith in. Because you'll only find true hope, true peace, a changed purpose and a restored relationship with God through faith in what Jesus did for us that first Good Friday. Let's give him thanks. Father God, we acknowledge that we have all sinned and fall short of your glory. We recognize that before you entered our world, entered our life, we were your enemies. We were not only indifferent to your purposes, we were opposed to them. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us so much, that while we were still rebelling against your plan and purposes, you loved us so much that you broke into our lives and showed us this incredible love through the death of your Son. Lord, we pray that you would help us to live in the light of this incredible hope, to treasure it, and to let it guide our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.